Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Old Fashioned Golf. Our friends at Old Fashioned Golf are creating Wisconsin-inspired golf apparel right in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All of their gear is extremely comfortable with one-of-a-kind designs that allow you to show your love for this great state both on and off the golf course. And is there anything better than old-fashioned golf at Christmas time? No, sir. That box that arrived at our house last week from Old Fashioned Golf was opened over the weekend. My daughter was in town. It was the I-43 golf towel, and she just loved it. And not only that, our oldest son, who's not big into golf, saw all the cool things about Wisconsin on that towel and wanted to know where he could get all the cool I-43 stuff. I said, head on over to oldfashionedgolf.com and you can see that it's all about Wisconsin at Old Fashioned Golf. With Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. It is Christmas week. We had our early Christmas this weekend. Played a couple rounds of golf with my daughter Rachel while she was in from Minnesota. Our son Devin played, and it was a lot of fun. Of course, whenever anybody comes to town, Gary, my golf cart's in the shop. So that's, first world problems there. But I'm not the only one playing golf. You made a trip over to Grant Park the other day. Milwaukee County, among other places, opening and closing golf courses, the weather allows. And lately, the weather has allowed for some golf to be played in Wisconsin.
Yeah, Rob, I went over to Grant and intending to play, but the parking lot was jam-packed and there was, looked like two or three foursomes on the tee waiting, and I just wasn't in the mood to stand around and wait and then play a 5.5 hour round of golf. So I just hit balls in the field next to the golf course. But man, I mean, I think there were two spaces open in the entire parking lot. There had to be, 150 to 200 cars parked there, and some cars parked in the spillover parking lot. So, golf is still going great guns. It's hard to believe December 18th today, and that was the 15th. That was 3 days ago. So I imagine nobody's playing today, Rob, because the weather has taken a turn for the worse, and it's around 30 degrees. So you'd have to be a pretty hardy soul to be out there right now.
Yeah, you would. As we record the podcast here on a Monday morning, 29 in Milwaukee, wind chill of 16. So that is a retreat for a while. But as we look ahead, Christmas Eve, 48 degrees. Christmas Day, 49. The day after Christmas, 49. Lows staying in the 40s until late next week, right before the new year. I'm not seeing much let up in the potential to play golf. It's become a little bit difficult, though, Gary, to track for me. Normally we like to, keep pace with the openings and closings, but everyone seems to be poised to reopen, those that haven't applied the winter chemicals to the greens especially. And so I think they're doing that. And I think Milwaukee County is leaving some courses in that mode so they can be available. Obviously, the courses that we've talked about in the past, Spring Valley down in Salem, Evergreen down in Elkhorn, always seem to be ready to be open. But I think I was seeing, I'm not sure if Janesville, Riverside, Beloit, Krieger, at least in recent weeks, have been in that mode. But Lake Windsor in the Madison area has been, opening and closing with some regularity. And to me, it also is a nod to the fact that a number of these operations are becoming more year-round because they're offering simulator golf indoors and or their restaurants are staying open through the winter as a place for people to gather and either watch games or just hang out. I feel that COVID has kind of boosted golf to a point where they can try some of these things again. And because they've built up the nest egg.
Yeah, and we had an interesting note in the sweet spot this morning, Monday morning, that the National Golf Foundation has done a survey of core golfers, and they identify core golfers as those who play eight or more rounds annually. And 93% of core golfers say they intend to play as much, if not more, golf next year. So good sign. And, of course, this is bonus revenue for golf courses, Rob. You don't depend, if you're a golf course owner, operator, you don't depend on much revenue in December. So all these rounds is just go straight to the bottom line, and it's good for courses. And one thing I've never done in my 52 years playing golf, Rob, is golf on Christmas Day. Maybe I'll have to do that if it's 49 degrees. I don't know if I can sneak away from the family, but I would love to try. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, and down here it's interesting because the pro shop is closed on Christmas Day, and they have a ranger out at the first tee. You kind of hand, you know, whether you're a annual member or have one, you know, there's one of the many packages that are available. So Christmas Day golf in Arizona obviously is a big deal. Boy, it sure is neat to be able to see that opportunity exist for people back in Wisconsin, especially those that are getting stuff for Christmas. You know, my daughter got new golf shoes. She wore those in our rounds this weekend. A number of people are, I'm sure, getting new clubs. We were on a call, our weekly call earlier today, and our friend, our colleague Mike Davis with a new putter. Not necessarily for Christmas, but, you know, this is the time of year, end of season sales, all that other stuff that, the equipment bag gets restocked. And, you know, it's always fun to be able to try it right away rather than wait for the, February, March, maybe even April.
Yeah, it's not too often in Wisconsin, Rob, that you can get something for Christmas golf-wise and then bring it out to the course and try it out a couple days later. And that might be the case this year. So that's pretty cool.
But I've seen, aside from the people playing at some of the courses that have reopened in recent weeks, a number of people taking advantage in the Milwaukee area of, both the Lux Golf down at, the ball fields at Franklin, the X Golf locations throughout the state, and especially, the one at American Family Field, and then the new outdoor, Top Golf-like facility that they've built, in DeForest. And, all those come into play this time of year. Vitens Golfland has put a lot of, heated stalls in, and now they are all outfitted with Top Tracer technology, so you can see where the ball is going. You can also use it for holiday parties and things. So I really feel like, the golf, our time-honored Wisconsin's only a six-month golf stage is starting to kind of get worn, because we're seeing good weather into December, and then we're also seeing the providers branch out and try new things to keep their golfers engaged. It's a lot different than when we first started covering this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you put your clubs away in, end of October, early November, and couldn't bring them out until late March, early April. And now golf, really, I mean, it's a 365-day season in Wisconsin, because you can play indoors any day of the year now, and you can play outdoors, it seems, more often than certainly than when I was young. I don't know if it's climate change, Rob, or we're just getting lucky with this El Nino pattern, or what's going on. But we've had an unbelievable December here. It's been, I think, the temperature's been above average, like 16 out of 18 days so far, and considerably above average, not just a degree or two. We're talking, 40s to mid 50s. Very unusual for December.
Absolutely. We had a frost delay here, though, a mild frost delay. It was a frost delay on the range Thursday, Gary. It was the final round of three for our men's league four-man scramble. And for the first time since I think we've started doing these podcasts while I've been living in Arizona, I finished in the money. We finished nice. Third in the white flight number one, and we had to par the last hole and pick up 0.8 of a shot. And it moved us 0.55 ahead of the fourth place team. So as a team, we got $300 worth of shop credit, and it's the biggest payday to date. The scramble format started out really fun, Gary. We were making a lot of putts. We had four guys that could, most holes we were all on the green, but for sure we always had at least one makeable birdie putt, which hasn't always happened in scrambles I've been a part of. As the pressure mounted, now the first and second place team, and we were a net division, so it was, they kind of pulled away. So it was a battle for third. And boy, when the pressure's on, Gary, a scramble format can be really, really tough.
Well, when you're playing for money, but Rob, I thought there was no gambling at Bushwood, sir.
Oh, there's not, sir. There's not. And I don't keep score either. But
okay.
But no, there's a lot of every week the men's league plays for shop credit, and I've never, I'm usually the guy that goes to the rummage sale. And of course, we've had the debate before about new golf balls versus old ones. You always start with a new one. I always find the one that I last found in the pond. And then this last week we have a message board here. Now tell me if this was a good deal. I'm not sure what kind of Titleist DTs they were, but, so they weren't Pro V1s, but someone was selling a box of brand new, never used Titleist DT somethings, a dozen for $10. I jumped all over that, Gary. I'm not sure I'll ever use them, but they're sitting in the garage now.
That's a Titleist DT. Isn't that a discontinued line, Rob? I don't know if Titleist makes a DT line anymore.
So you're thinking they may not go as far. DT Solo, that's what it was. Let's see if they've got. And they on eBay, they're going for $20. I'm not seeing. Yeah, you're right. I'm not seeing them here. Amazon has them, but yeah, you don't know where they're from. Yeah, that's not a. They've kind of gone on to the NXTs as the low end, haven't they?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But that's all right. So you lose 2 extra yards, you'll only be hitting at 265 now.
That's right. I'm looking for a golf ball, Gary, that goes well, goes the distance I intend off my irons. Can we find a golf ball like that?
If I do, I'm going to hoard them all for myself, Rob. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But speaking of scrambles, the most entertaining scramble of the year is the one that always happens the week before Christmas down at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Club near Orlando, the PNC Championship. And quite frankly, this year it was as entertaining as ever, weather aside. Steve and Izzy Stricker made their debut in the PNC Championship, the annual parent-child event that features some of the greats of golf. What was it, 20 teams, I think it was, this year. And what a weekend. They start out getting paired, Steve and Izzy, with Nikki caddying for Izzy and Bobby, the Stricker's oldest daughter and Epson Tour player last summer, on the bag for Steve. And then they get paired with Nelly and Peter Korda in round one. And then they shoot an 8-under 64 in the first round. Happens to be the same score at about the same place in the tee sheet as the Woods, Tiger and Charlie, and they get paired for the final round. It couldn't have been scripted better. They could have won the tournament, but in terms of playing with people that, that made for a lot of fun weekend, I mean, I can't imagine Izzy Stricker having a better time.
No, I mean, it's funny, Rob. We go to a website called ASAP Sports sometimes to get quotes from tournaments, and Izzy was quoted at length. We were joking about that before we started the podcast. She was almost treated like she was an LPGA star with the amount of time and investment that they made in interviewing her and transcribing her interview. But she said that she told her family before the tournament started that she really would love to be paired with Nelly Korda and Tiger Woods, and wound up being paired with both. So what a memorable week for the Stricker family. They posted a photo with them. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, Rob. They posted a photo with the four of them, Nikki, Bobby, Izzy, and Steve. And last I looked, it had 44,000 views. So
wow.
What a week for them. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I compiled overnight and just pushed it out to our Wist.golf Twitter account and to Facebook, the great social media stuff that was out there from the weekend, starting with that photo and then going backwards to when Nikki and I'm sorry, when Izzy and Bobby were kind of debating who was going to caddy for who, and it was classic sisterly love there. And I mean, what a great experience for the whole family too, and especially Izzy at this stage in her career. You know, I think much like I found in scrambles, you get to in stretches there where the putts won't fall, and that happened in round one. I think they made a couple of birdies early, then went through like a 9-hole stretch midway through the round where they struggled to see putts fall, and I think they birdied 5 of their last 6 to get to 8-under, and you can tell with Izzy far more than Bobby when things are not necessarily going according to plan. I don't want to say there's smoke coming out of her ears, but you know, she's got that look, and it shows how competitive she is. She's a 2-time, state high school champion in Wisconsin, but, she really wants to get better. And when things aren't going, when the putts aren't falling, or when she's not executing shots the way she wants, then I think that's the reason Nikki was on the bag. She kind of had to get kind of refocused and calmed down a bit. But that's the sign of a champion, Gary.
It is, Rob. She's got a lot of fire about her, which I really like. You know, Steve's got that fire, but it's always inside him. He doesn't really show it. I mean, he shows some exuberance when he hits a good shot or a great shot, but he rarely shows anger other than maybe a swipe at the grass with a club. That's about as angry as you ever see him. But I think the steam does come out of his ears from time to time, and I think we see that with Izzy from time to time too.
Well, there were a lot of fun quotes over the weekend from the transcripts with the Strickers. I think the one that I really got a chuckle out of was, I think it was after the Saturday round, and they asked Steve about his role in the whole discussion process and where I found it funny that Izzy really thinks that Steve overanalyzes every shot. And there was a time, in Saturday's round where he, the amount of time it took for him to figure out what club he was going to hit. And her quote was like, back and forth, switches clubs 8 times, I swear. That gets annoying. And Steve just kind of, goes, there's a lot of pet peeves. I think I'm going to lump all the other daughter and Nikki into this. Is just them telling me what to do. I think that's a pet peeve. There's sometimes where I'm like, Dad should have a say. He should be able to say that this is going to be what's going to happen, and I get overruled 95% of the time. Now, I didn't realize that the court of decision making was that skewed towards the women in the family. But Steve said he's learning to bite his tongue, and so that's kind of goes with the territory of being like they say, a girl dad. I found that to be interesting. And then it was kind of cool yesterday in that, again, why Izzy was transcribed. Now, wait a second here. Am I seeing this? Oh, there we go. Yeah, it's all Izzy. All Izzy yesterday. I don't know where Steve has managed to avoid a couple of, interviews over the few decades, but not often. And so it was kind of, weird to see Izzy get the Nelly Korda treatment. But they asked about her and Charlie Woods. Did you talk about anything out there? Briefly, we were both really dialed in. Not much came out of our mouths, but I talked to him a little about junior golf and got to talk to him a little and his sister, Sam. It was fun. Seeing Sam Woods on the bag. She's more of a soccer player. Again, it was, two families that go way back. I mean, Stricker and has helped Tiger Woods with his putting from time to time. And the two have been very close. Again, I thought it was a kind of a fairy tale ending for a couple of teams that finished a ways back of, lo and behold, Bernhard and Jason Langer. Jason putting like Bernhard Langer at Century World this summer was making putt after putt after putt. And they almost ran away with it after the Kuchers had a 3-shot lead following day one. I think the Langers birdied 8 of the first 9 holes on the front and then added 3 out of the first 4 in the back and took the lead, never let up. But when Bernhard Langer gets in front, he doesn't back up, does he?
No, and rounds of 60 and 59 in a 4-man scramble would be pretty good, but in a 2-person scramble, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really going deep for two people to shoot that kind of scores in a scramble.
Yeah, we did, I think it was – we were 60 with a 4-man in the 2 rounds on one of the courses, and then I think it was 62 or 64 on the other one, and that was squeezing absolutely everything we could out of the round. I mean, there was a couple of holeouts, and this is fairways and greens all the time, but you've got to make the putts. And I thought that especially in Saturday's round, before really rain became a factor, they had those greens putting pretty well, and they were hard for even the best putters to figure out. There were a lot of putts left outside, inside, and I was surprised. I expected it to be more of a birdie fest than it was, but at the same time, you don't want 18 birdies or 16 birdies and two eagles. I mean, you want some challenge to it. You want the potential for backup, and at a scramble, a par is kind of a backup. So I thought the course played fair, but boy, when else would you see people playing in some of the rain they had, especially early on Sunday?
Yeah, and what's really cool about this event, Rob, is just the joy you see in the parents and their kids, or in some cases the player is the father is as in Mike and Justin Thomas's case. But the joy that you see, you know, watch Tiger, and I mean, you can tell that he's just genuinely having a blast. And that's what makes it, I think, such a fun event, is that we get to see these guys with their guards down a little bit. They're competing, but the goal is to have fun, and that certainly is accomplished when you watch how they cheer each other on, and you watch the smiles of the dads when their son or daughter makes the putt or, you know, hits a great chip.
If you have an opportunity, go to the Golf Channel Twitter page and listen to the interview with Padraig Harrington after the round. I think the Harringtons finished tied for last with the Furyks, but Padraig talked about stress-free environments are the best way for young players to learn to love golf and improve their skills. And that's kind of, you know, that was the, you know, kind of the genesis behind my rounds this weekend with my two kids. You know, Devin and I play, you know, occasionally out here because he lives out here. But, you know, Rachel, it's an opportunity, like a lot of people from the Midwest, once the weather does turn cold and stays there, to get out and play. And, you know, we weren't really too concerned about scoring. We were just out there enjoying it, you know, good weather. But Padraig's point was that, you know, if you do it and treat it that way, you're going to get kids that are going to play this game until they're a ripe old age. And he kind of talked a little bit too, Gary, about the reality that, you know, people are living longer. The next generation will probably live longer than our generation will, which means they could be playing this game until their 90s or even, you know, older. There was a gentleman in our scramble last week who celebrated his 90th birthday on the final day of the scramble. And you look at him and he looked like he was 70. I mean, he was, you know, and so you need something to stay active. You need something to go to every day when you wake up. For some people, it's, you know, pickleball has become the great fad. Other people, you know, golf is the game of a lifetime. There aren't many games that you can, you know, sports or activities you can do that late in life. And I think that's what makes this. And I think that's the message this thing sends. I mean, you've written extensively about your golf with your dad. And I think we'd all want our dads to be around just for that, you know, more than anything, just to have one more round with them. And now we're trying to do that with our kids. That time goes fast, and so it was kind of a powerful message. So I would encourage everyone to check that out there on the Golf Channel Twitter account.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I couldn't get enough of it. I was switching back and forth from the Packers game to the PNC, and then when the Packers started really laying an egg, I just switched over to the golf and watched the rest of the golf. And it was a lot more fun watching the golf than it was watching the Packers. I will say that, Rob. If you're a Packer fan, you know what I mean.
Yeah, for better or worse, we only got one game yesterday on. Were they on CBS yesterday, or was it Fox? I think it was Fox. We got just the late Cardinals game. The 49ers were here, so I didn't even bother to watch Red Zone. I was glued to the PNC from the very start on Peacock. I've secured access to a Peacock account, Gary, and I think it's going to be a valuable thing going into the new year, because I'm finding a lot more stuff on Peacock.
Yeah, and how about the news coming out of NBC that Kevin Kisner is going to be getting a tryout in the analyst seat? I think that's really interesting. That came out of left field for me, Rob.
Well, me too. And it was weird because I was watching the coverage when Dan Hicks made the announcement, and all of a sudden I get the ding that you sometimes hear in the background of this podcast. When my Killarney account has an incoming, they sent that out right as Dan Hicks was announcing it. I found that a very weird time to announce that you're going to have a guy potentially auditioning for the Paul Azinger seat that is now vacated. And that's a good transition to, as we look ahead to the new year. I mean, NBC is going to have a new lead golf analyst, and Kisner joins a broadcast team of Dan Hicks, Kurt Byram, Mark Rolfing, John Wood, Smiley Kaufman, and Todd Lewis for the Century. There's other people in the mix. Peter Jacobson was on the broadcast this weekend. I mean, we've talked about it before. Who are we going to get to fill Azinger's role? At what point, why are they waiting? What is this Kisner move going to be? I mean, do you have an opinion on what this little announcement yesterday, you know, what it might mean?
Well, you know, I thought he still wants to compete too. I mean, he's still playing the tour. I know he's had some injuries. He got over a bad injury this past year, but maybe he feels his competitive window is closing. I'm not sure, but, I can't wait. I mean, he's been outspoken, certainly as a player. I've interviewed him a couple times, Rob, and he shoots from the hip. So it'll be interesting to see how he adapts to that chair and, you know, when he has to maybe call out players for hitting a bad shot. Johnny Miller was never afraid to do it. But when you're a peer of the guys you're talking about, I think it's a lot more difficult. So, but, you know, I kind of thought Paul McGinley might get that chair.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of names, you know, that we talked about. But, yeah, this came as a big surprise to me.
I thought, you know, McGinley did well. Was it in the Grant Thornton, or what was the event he was on, or was it the last regular event?
Yeah.
So, you know, and he's got, you know, a good perspective, but yeah, I mean, it's not an enviable chair to be in because a lot's expected of you, and kind of like the Tony Romo, Troy Aikman chair, everybody's got an opinion about your performance, so you've got to have a pretty thick skin. That based on the little clip they did of Kevin Kisner talking to the media over the years, he will have to clean up the language a little bit.
Yes, he will. Yeah, I've got some interviews of him on tape that some of the words would have to be bleeped out. But he does shoot from the hip, and maybe that's what they were looking for in their analysts going forward here.
He's no Lee Elia, the former Cub manager who might have had the greatest F-bomb tirade in the history of organized sport, but it was he's got no shortage of examples of his work in that area. But as you said, he shoots from the hip. We'll see if that's the way he performs at the Century. And speaking of the Century, Gary, I guess we can tell folks you'll be out there too, as along with Century Insurance, the great ambassador of golf in Wisconsin, the presenting sponsor of now the Century, the tournament that starts the year for tournament winners from the previous year and others who fit the exemption categories. You've got to be looking forward to that. Hard to believe that we're 2 weeks out from the start of a new year.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, Rob. I was fortunate enough to go 3 or 4 years ago and played with Graham McDowell in the Pro-Am. I have an invitation to play in the Pro-Am again, so I'm really looking forward to I'd love to play with Eric Van Rooyen and have Gauger along to talk to. But anybody in that field, obviously, is going to be fun to play with. So I'm looking forward to that and writing some stories for Wisconsin.golf from out Maui way.
And it's, you know, again, the start of a new season. We should also mention, too, that for those that are looking to pencil in their events for 2024, the first major schedule release scheduled for Wednesday, the WSGA will post to its site the Wisconsin Golfer digital magazine, and it'll include the 2024 schedule, highlighted by the state amateur being played in July at Merrill Hills, which will be a departure from the last 2 years where it's been at Sand Valley and at Erin Hills. A much tighter experience, as we've talked about, but as we look forward to 2024, we always look forward to the where these big tournaments will be played. And this year it's a Merrill Hills State Am and a Minocqua Country Club State Open. Again, different experiences. We introduce, you know, the golfers to a different part of the state as it relates to the state open, although just a few couple hours north of Century World where it was last year. You know, this is a fun time of year. I know there's I heard from one golfer who might border hop a little bit, and he's already got his hands on the schedule for next year because those that have the opportunity to play in Minnesota and Wisconsin, Illinois and Wisconsin, even, you know, the upper Michigan and Wisconsin, that the process of scheduling is not as easy as it looks.
No, and Rob, I'm really looking forward to that state open at Minocqua Country Club. You know, I've heard so many good things about that golf course. I've not seen it. It's one of the few courses, you know, top end, high upscale courses, a private club that I haven't seen in our state. And so I'm looking forward to that. You know, Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly both are members there. And who knows if one or both might at least think or consider about playing in the state open next year. That would be just a riot if they decided to do that. I have a feeling if one committed, maybe the other one would too.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think it's an opportunity for them. You know, again, you look at the impact that, you know, the golfers around Izzy Stricker had this week at the PNC Championship. And, you know, I think that's always why I've been a big advocate for as many of those, you know, of our touring professionals, if it fits in their schedule, to come back and play. Because tell you what, there's nothing like, you know, for a high school golfer being in a state open field and having at least the opportunity to play with a Thomas Longbella or a Harrison Ott or any of the emerging, you know, PGA Tour, developmental tour players that we have in the state, or the great college players that we have in the state that can provide some guidance and some perspective as to what it's taken to get there. And certainly Steve and Jerry have got the most experience of anybody as it relates to, you know, their careers and what they've done at each level. And that would be fun. So you get a chance to look at that. I know that Pearson Hunt is playing again in the Patriot All-America out here at the Wigwam Resort to hopefully, probably, you know, use it as a springboard into a much better 2024. We'll try to get out there and see him. Not much left on the 2024 calendar, Gary, outside of Christmas. You anticipating any good finds in the Christmas stocking?
I hope so, because whatever I get, I'm taking with me to Hawaii, to Maui, Rob. So hopefully I'll have a little something under the tree. But, you know, you mentioned Thomas Longbella just a minute ago, and I noticed, Rob, that he is playing in the final round of the PGA Tour qualifying tournament's final stage. The final round Sunday was washed out, so they're finishing today. Right now, he's as we record this, he is tied for 105th place. He's on the back nine in the final round, so it doesn't look like Thomas is going to, unfortunately, it doesn't look like he's going to gain Korn Ferry Tour status for 2024. But he had a bad start, you know, 76-74, but bounced back with a great round in the third round, 66. And today, as we record this, he's even par through 11 holes.
And so it's the top five go to the PGA Tour, and then the next 40 go to the Korn Ferry Tour. I believe others after that, and he's already got status, I believe, on the PGA Tour Americas because of where he finished last year in Canada. And,
yeah.
And so now it'll be a matter of going back and playing that game. I guess the good news is he has that to fall back on. It's been, this is a learning experience. A lot of people went low those first two rounds. It's kind of a bit intimidating. It'll be interesting to hear from him about, you know, how he found the process. It's been a while since we've had someone reach the final stage of one of these qualifying schools. So,
right.
I mean, you go back, it took Steve Stricker like three or four times to get through, right?
Yeah, it took him, I think, three times to get through. Like you said, it's not easy. I think Skip Kendall won it at least once, maybe twice. I think he won the qualifying tournament back in the 90s, but it is, it's a grind. It's very, very difficult to get through. It used to be six rounds, I think, yep, back in the day. Now it's three stages, four rounds at each stage. So, right. So 12 rounds, you've got to play great golf for 12 rounds of golf. Got to have your A game at the right time. And if you don't, you wait till next year. So it's tough to do. And, but you, like you said, I think this will be a great learning experience for Thomas, who has a world of talent. And if he gets back there next year, I would expect him to play better.
As we look at this qualifying school leaderboard, you know, I think emphasizes the importance of PGA Tour University for these, you know, college stars to get out on tour. NCAA champion from, I believe it was last year, Fred Biondi, who came out on the, you know, as a professional this year and played, you know, with PGA Tour U status, didn't, obviously wasn't exempt, didn't earn exempt status on the PGA Tour. He is T10 as we record this. He's the only one I recognize out of the college ranks, which again shows you how you don't want to put all your eggs in the Q school basket. You really, I feel still the best route is to play well throughout the summer, make money and vis-a-vis points in whatever order of merit or cup competition there is on the PGA Tour Americas, the Korn Ferry Tour, and work your way up that way. I feel that's where the biggest staying power is, because you're basically auditioning at a lower level to do what you need to do on the PGA Tour versus trying to get lightning in a bottle here at the Q School. I like the fact that this is out there for people at the end of the year, especially, you know, because everybody's schedules are different. This is kind of a consistency, you know, where you you know, start at the first stage. Some even have to go to pre-qualifying to get to the first stage. And it is a grind, but you know, it's kind of that mulligan at the end of the year. You look at some of these names on the leaderboard, Harry Higgs at T16, the guy who, flashed his belly at the Waste Management Phoenix Open a couple years ago. Right. And after a chip in or whatever on hole 17 and, or hole 16 and, Max McGreevy, there's a lot of names in here. It shows you how tough it is to get out there, shows you how tough it is to stay out there. And, this will be on TV today too, Gary. And we've seen a lot of great meltdowns over the years at the final stage of qualifying school. I don't know if we'll see it today, but, it's a pressure unlike any other.
How about Sam Bennett, Rob, who, flashed really some brilliance at the Masters last year and contended as an amateur going into the back nine. I think he was still in contention, and he's tied for 72nd right now as we record this podcast, 3 over through 12 holes on his round. And here's a guy with unbelievable talent. I mean, he hits the ball so far. And he's so good around the greens. He's got everything to make it on the PGA Tour, and there's 70 guys ahead of him in the Q School. So you're right. It's hard to catch lightning in a bottle. It's hard to play your best golf when you have to.
I believe Reed Davenport was a teammate of Harrison Ott's at Vanderbilt. I see Curtis Thompson. Is that Lexi's brother? I'm not sure. The Thompson family tree. She's got a brother out there chasing the tour. And Dylan Meyer out of University of Illinois has shown flashes of brilliance out there. Jared Tudoit, a Canadian who's been, a mainstay on the Canadian tour for many years. Again, you get to this stage and you just hope to catch, lightning in a bottle. And, and even some of the guys that, withdrew and, Kelly Kraft, wasn't he the USAM champion at Erin Hills? Or runner-up?
He was. He beat Patrick Cantlay in the final at Erin Hills. Yep, Kelly Kraft.
Boy, it's just, and some of these guys are withdrawing because they already have some limited status and grinding it out for 4 rounds, doesn't really do much for them. But, especially at the holiday time, it's a really tough pill to swallow when you're, trying to play for 2024. But, it's a time-honored tradition on the PGA Tour, the PGA Tour Q School. I'm glad it's back to a format where there is some incentive to get to the PGA Tour or opportunity. And so we'll see what transpires here and how Thomas Longbelly uses this experience to maybe, find his footing on the PGA Tour Americas in 2024 in this new format with Latino America and Canada being merged. See if he finds that any easier. Most people do. We'll find out. Gary, anything else before we wrap up? We'll wrap up the new year or the old year next week and kind of look back. You're doing a top 10 stories column as to what stood out this year. So we'll save that for next week. We'll also look forward to 2024 in the next couple weeks, and especially as the schedules get released and things we're looking forward to. But anything before we wrap up our final edition of Talking Dot Golf before Christmas?
No, Rob, I think we covered all the bases, and hopefully everyone out there has a great holiday season, great Christmas, and we've got a lot to look forward to, in the new year. So we'll talk about that next week.
That sounds good. And, hopefully everyone's stocking is full of great golf equipment, great golf apparel. And, of course, we hope that it's filled with a lot of great golf apparel from Old Fashioned Golf. They are our sponsor of Talking Dot Golf. Our friends at Old Fashioned Golf are creating Wisconsin-inspired golf apparel right in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All of their gear is extremely comfortable with one-of-a-kind designs that allow you to show your love for this great state both on and off the golf course. And there's nothing better than old-fashioned golf, whether it's a ball marker in the stocking or whether it's a polo under the tree. It's all available at oldfashionedgolf.com. We invite you to check them out at oldfashionedgolf.com because it's all about Wisconsin at Old Fashioned Golf. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.